When I was in the second grade, my parents moved us from Omaha, Nebraska, to Pleasanton, California. My parents had spent a year living in San Francisco just after they got married, and my arts-loving mother had lived for the city's culture and open spirit. So when my father announced he was getting transferred to go back to the Bay Area, she rejoiced. My mother pushed for Oakland, where we would be around other Black families and still close to all that San Francisco had to offer. But my father, obsessed with keeping up with the Joneses, had bigger plans. He had a white work friend who had moved to Pleasanton, a half-hour drive and a world away from Oakland. If it's good enough for Dave, he said, it's good enough for us. In Omaha, we were part of the largest African-American extended family in Nebraska. In Pleasanton, we would be the chocolate chip in the cookie. My mother didn't want that for her daughters, me, my older sister Kelly, and my younger sister Tracy. Well, she lost that battle. Everything she feared came to pass. The residents of Pleasanton divided themselves into housing developments, and where you lived said everything about who you were. We bought a house in Val Vista, which was working middle class with upper middle class goals. Val Vista was considered just below Valley Trails in the Pleasanton development caste system. But neither of those neighborhoods was nearly as good as the Meadows, across town, where they had green belts that connected all the cul-de-sacs in the streets. When you told someone where you lived, it was shorthand for the truth of your family's economic situation. Good, average, or untouchable. Since birth, my family has called me Nikki, from my middle name Monique. It took a little less than a year, in Pleasanton, for someone to call me nigger. It was during third grade recess at Fairlands Elementary, and it came from Lucas. He was one of the Latino kids bussed in from Komodorsky, the low-income housing development. He rode with Carmen, Lori, and Gabriel, or as everyone called them, the Komodorsky kids. One day, Lucas decided my name made for great racist alliteration. "Nikki's a nigger," he said, pointing at me with a huge smile of revelation, like he'd found me in a game of hide-and-seek. For one day to my face, and who knows how many days behind my back, Nigger Nikki caught on like wildfire. The kids chanted it, trying on the word as a threat. Nigger. And a question. Nigger? And then as sing-song. Nigger Nikki, Nigger Nikki. I couldn't afford to stand out like that ever again. So I became obsessed with observing the Komodorsky kids, clocking all the shit they did that everyone, meaning the white ones, made fun of. I wanted to be the exact opposite. And I was clocking the white kids too, of course. I looked at them and thought, that's where I'm going to. And when I saw the Komodorsky kids, all I could think was, that's where I'm running from. With every single move I made and every word I spoke, I stayed hyper-alert to what I called the black pitfalls. What were the things that would make me appear blacker? I only ate chicken with a knife and fork, and never in front of white people. Certainly not KFC. And no fruit on a rind. You were not going to see a toothy grin and watermelon scene from me. I had been warned, of course. My parents gave me the pep talk when I started school, the same speech all black parents give their kids. You're going to have to be bigger, badder, better, just to be considered equal. You're going to have to do twice as much work, and you're not going to get any credit for your accomplishments or for overcoming adversity. Most black people grow accustomed to the fact that we have to excel just to be seen as existing. And this is a lesson passed down from generation to generation. You can either be super Negro or the forgotten Negro. It's actually very accurate advice, but the problem with putting it on a kid is that if you're not as good as or eight times as good as, you feel like you're less than. Not just in academics or in sports. Every kid cares about something and wants to receive love and praise for that particular quality or ability. You're always chasing, always worrying about being exposed as the dumb black kid, the foolish nigger. On one hand, it puts your shoulder to the wheel, so you're always pushing, working, striving. But one misstep and it's over. An A minus can feel like Hiroshima. It's catastrophic because you feel exposed. It's still an A, but what it feels like is, dumb nigger. You're a joke. Of course you missed it, nigger. I had that fear as a kid with every worksheet. Do you remember the time tests with multiplication? I became psychotic about those. I would see 4 times 16 equals blank and hear my father's voice, bigger, badder, better. By the way, it's taking everything I have not to tell you I know the answer is 64, which leads me to 64 being a perfect square, which leads me down the rabbit hole of listing other perfect squares, and who cares? I did.